Blog Talk Radio.
Cast down to the sea, his chosen captain, drowned in the Red Sea.
شمعي يشعل هيا على هاي النور هيا شمع يشعل هيا على هاي شمع يشعل هيا على هاي النور هيا
Hey, 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 Shalom family, and welcome. Welcome once again to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's radio show for the sisters. The first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one. I'm your host. I'm Sister Shirley.
And co-host.
And,
yep, co-host.
Carol.
Carol. Hey, Carol. How are you?
I'm very good. Shalom, all.
Good, 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 good. Hang on. I'm trying to get this noise stopped in here. If I can. I guess I can't. Okay. At any rate, I'm glad to hear from you, and let me just get right into it. We are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this program to ask a question, make a comment, get involved with this roundtable discussion tonight, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and look for blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church. And our episodes should all be there. Or you can reach out to us in private email to restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. Now let me just throw this in for good measure. This information voiced on this show is for informational purposes only and not intended to substitute for professional, medical, or any kind of advice, diagnosis, mental counseling, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider before undertaking any new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this station. We do, however, invite you to the Holy Bible as our foundation. And we are asking any of the listeners to either accept our challenge to walk with Christ as your Savior. And basically, that's our disclaimer, okay? So we are here tonight. Let me bring in some of the callers. We have the young people on tonight, and we're going to let them run this show. I'm going to bring in Sister Aura. I think I see Sister Aura out there. Are you there, Aura?
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. We have with the young people, we have Sister Jenny. Jenny, you're in. You're live.
Hi, Mom.
We have Sister Anna. Sister Anna.
Shalom.
And we have Sister Zaire. So our young people can really get used to that. I don't see Sister Betty. Sister Betty, if you're there, raise your hand so I can see you, okay? Meaning press 1 to get into the host queue, and so I'll see you. So we're going to have a good show tonight, but as usual, before we get started with a show, we want to ask the Most High to be in our midst. Carol, can you take us before his wonderful throne?
Absolutely. I want to start out by reading Psalms 90. I might have read that other times, but it just was on my heart today. And I'm going to read it, and I hope it's not too long for everyone, but it's a beautiful psalm, and who can get tired of hearing the word of the Lord?
Hey,
Psalms 90. Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return ye, children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it. I want to thank the Most High for his word.
Yes.
I want to thank him for reminding us three scores and ten. Is what the Most High considers a full life. But by reason of strength, we are giving more days. Thank the Lord that you give some of us more days, but some you do give less than the 70 and 10. Father, we know that you know the very hairs on our head are numbered. We also know that you know how many days that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, Father. We thank you for the days that we have upon the land of the living, Father, because all of us will soon fly away, Father. We thank you for this audience. We thank you for this opportunity that we've been given to come before you together as women, to try our best to live as daughters of Zion and not daughters of Babylon, my Father. We're thanking you, young people who have joined us tonight, that they may latch on and help to restore the young people, because their voices are the ones that the young people will most likely listen to. And Father, I thank you for our audience. I thank you for everyone that's listening. Father, I ask that you touch all who need a touch, a healing touch. And I want to thank you in advance for touching the ones that we have prayed for, Father,
Father,
being restored and returning back to the congregations, Father. I thank you so much. Lord, We thank you tonight, and let our words become edification to one another, Father, and that we become smaller and that you are magnified tonight. In the name of Yeshaya Bashem Yeshaya, in the name of Ahayah by Hashem Yeshaya, we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. First of all, I love Psalm 90. I love that psalm. It's just beautiful.
Me too.
And I think that, you know, the scriptures tells us to number our days. And that 70 years, I know we have the young people on to that tonight. But I tell you, those years catch up with you so darn fast. And you think you think you're not really old because you don't feel old. But, you know, to think, okay, soon we'll be living on borrowed time. You know what I mean? It's like because for reason of health and strength, the Most High allows us to stay here. Even though, you know, we should be pressing towards the kingdom because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But nonetheless, you know, we feel like we need to be here to guide our children. I would think if I didn't have any kids here, you know, or a husband, family, sisters and brothers and all that jazz, maybe it wouldn't be so hard. But right now, you know, you feel like I can't leave these crazy people. You know, we need to help them. So we got the kids on tonight to do just that. But go ahead, Carol.
I want to just say this, that since I've become part of TOCC, and I think I said it to you before, and I know I said it to some of my sisters in the church, I never felt so close to a church as I do with TOCC. I really feel like these people are my family.
Yes.
They have been very different from when I was in the First Day Church. And I'm not knocking the First Day Church. Maybe it's because I've become very serious about God's word, understanding what he has said, because I'm still that person, but my outlook, my understanding of his word is so much richer that just knowing that Sabbath day is more important than even the feast days. You press your way to get to church, and it's so wonderful to see one another. It's like shalom.
I have to agree with you, and I think that the Most High separated us, spread us out, because we were a force alone. All we needed was each other, and we hang out with each other. Now we are forced to deal with the church people, because our family members are spread out all over the place. And it's like you said, they have become our family. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. All right. So Sister Jenny tonight and Sister Zaire and Sister Anna that are on, they are going to be going into maximizing the season of your life, the season of the life you're in as you're in it. Okay. And so I'm wanting to hear how that works out. So Sister Jenny, I'm gonna pass the floor over to you, pass the baton. So jump right in.
Shalom. So I actually wanted to start off with a scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to leave. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sue. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." And the first thing that stuck out to me from this this part of the Bible is that to everything there is a season. And so it kind of made me think, like, if there's a thing to it, then if it's a thing, then there's a season to it. No matter what it is, the Most High has appointed a certain level of time for something to be accomplished with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I feel like if we don't realize the part of our life that we're really in so that we can make the most out of it, we can be frustrated if it's the time to mourn, but you want to laugh. And you're like, but why am I not dancing? Why am I not happy? And this is the time of your life when, you know, this is the time to lose. This is the time to mourn. This is the time to weep. And it's not going to last forever because it's a season, but maybe there's something that you can learn from it. Maybe it happened for a reason. Maybe you brought it upon your own self, or, you know, maybe the Most High is just trying to teach you patience. But if you don't realize, you know, what, if you don't sit back and look and say, you know, what does the Most High want me to do with my life at this present time and moment? It could be very hard to be frustrated wanting another time, like, you know, and rather than being content with where you're at, being grateful with the good parts of it and trying to make the most of it and finding purpose and meaning.
You brought up something really important that that kind of hit me over the head, and it was that you said definitely there's a time for everything, but you said that it's not going to last forever. Knowing that, you know, like the scripture, when the scripture would read, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, to know that the situation you're in is not going to last forever. I think that's such an important thing to know, that when you're suffering, no, it's not going to last forever. When you're going through that pain, but also when you're going through, when you're flourishing, when you're getting that latter rain of finances or whatever it is, it's not going to last forever. So you need to make sure that what you're doing, taking advantage of the time that you have there and using it wisely. And as you're in that part, as you're saying, that it's not going to last, I love that you said, because it can give you the strength to get through it. And I hope I didn't jump into something you were planning to say, but that kind of just hit me. But go ahead.
No, you didn't. I have a lot to say, but I wanted to open it up with that. That was a really good point.
Good.
So that
good,
it does
good,
help
good.
You to get through difficult times, knowing that it's not going to last forever. It's just a season. Is that you, Anna?
Zaire and Anna, they're both in.
Hello. Shalom, sisters. I hope you all are feeling blessed today. This is Sister Anna.
Hi, sister.
Hello there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I heard of the topic, maximizing the season of your life, I kind of wanted to interpret it literally in the season. So, you know, as some of us, all of us know, all in all, these seasons, you know, they're spirits that bear record with our, and, you know, typically they make us feel and act, you know, a certain way. And it's what we do with them, you know, that helps us in our walk, you know, further with, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach. So just for an example, so, you know, when you're coming into spring, you know, it's a new beginning, you know, you're taking that Passover lamb, and, you know, becoming a new Christ, that first fruit, and becoming, you know, that first fruit Christ will pick for the kingdom. You know, it's the spring, it's like a time of new opportunities, you know. Then comes summer, and you're manifesting your growth and your endurance, being that light and putting forth those works into fruition, you know, those ideas that you had, you know, in that springtime. And then in the fall, you know, we're collecting those fruits and endeavors you succeeded with, and even your failures. And, you know, you start atoning, and that's, you know, when the Day of Atonement comes. And lastly, you know, it comes winter, which is basically like I look at it as a time of reflection, you know, and reaping what you sow and continuing to endure and still being that light with patience. Because as we all know, you know, that's, you know, the day of dedication comes, and, you know, we focus on never letting that light burn out. And again, reflecting for the new year. And, you know, it's like a cycle. And every year we should be a new creature in Christ, you know, reaching perfection. We shouldn't be stuck in our old ways. You know, and that's how we have to kind of look at our lives, because it's like, you know, Sister Jenny and Sister Shirley said, you know, we're only getting older, you know, and, you know, we need to be focused on leaving that example for the next generation and establishing and following the blueprint of Christ, you know, because it's not how long you live, but what you did while you were living. And I just have one scripture that I just want to bring out. And it's Galatians 6, 7 through 9. And it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And verse 9 and last, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in the due season we shall reap, if we faint not." You know, so every year and in every season, every time of your life, if you're, you know, sowing to the Spirit, Galatians 5, and you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and becoming better in anything, and being a mother and being a wife, a better wife, you know, towards your head, you know, we shouldn't be weary, because in that season we're going to reap, which means to collect. And if we faint not and endure, we will reach the kingdom. And that's how, you know, we have to look at it, especially for, you know, these young children, you know. So I yield. Praise the Most High.
Is that you, Zaire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was me.
All right, go
did
ahead.
You have to say, okay.
No, that was Carol. Carol, you wanted to comment on that before Zaire came in?
No, I was just simply saying that was really good.
Okay, go ahead, Zaire.
I agree with everything that Jenny and Anna just said, and I think they both brought pretty interesting perspectives. Something that I wanted to add was, when I think about, like, being in the season, enjoying, maximizing the season that you're in, I think about how when I was younger and I always, well, I didn't always want to, I didn't always yearn to get into adulthood, but every so often that desire to be older so I can have the freedom and I can do the things that I want and all of those things, they crept in. And now I'm actually a teacher, and commonly when I'm talking to, like, students and things like that, I always hear, you know, "I can't wait till I'm older, like, I can't wait till I have freedom, or I can't wait till this, that." And it kind of is usually said in a way that they're not content in the stage of life that they're in now. Like, they're, you know, you're not happy being so young, you're not happy with the fact that you may have to ask your parents for permission with things, or even a little older, like a young adult, who may just be entering their career like I am now, and you may be feeling like, oh, like, I'm not content in what the stage of life that I'm in right now, and I'm just not enjoying it. I think that that idea is so prevalent within us now that it sucks the joy out of life for us at very young ages. So there are children that naturally, children do have a joy within them, but there's this discontentment because they're not, they feel like they're missing out on something that they're not going to gain until the future. So I think that is important for us to also start to help our younger folks and even the young women that are in our early 20s learn how to be more content. Like, that is very important, being content with where you are now, because everything that was just said, there's so much that you can take and you can learn from every season of life that you're in. And it's very easy for you to neglect or miss very important life lessons or just the small joys in life because you're striving for the next step, not realizing how much you are able to do and grasp and learn and grow where you are in the moment that you're in or the season that you're currently in.
Interesting. I'd like to add this, that when I was young, I was always running around constantly saying things like, "My husband and I, we're young, and we're the youth in the church." You know, I was just constantly reminding people that we were young until my sister, not Shirley, Aura, said to me, "You're not young anymore. And I was really taken aback. But I mean, like, what? You're not young anymore. And I had to think about it. But, you know, like you were saying, early 20s. 20s is considered young. But just let me tell you something, how fast you're going to get to middle age. 35 is middle age. If the Lord has allotted us 70 years, what's half of 35, half of 70? 35.
Mm-hmm.
That's a middle-aged person. You never think of that. So these years, believe me, they're flying. One day, Jenny, we'll be talking to me and you saying you're middle-aged, sweetie.
Senior citizen. Senior citizen, you know. You keep working on it. But you know what I find is
AARP card.
And they start sending that out pretty early. But I think that the things that they're talking about are so important, because she mentioned that to be content. It's that state of mind, young, old, or wherever you are. If you are not content with where you are, you're going to always be struggling and striving and wishing something was different from what it is, instead of enjoying. You know, I passed by my high school a couple of years ago, and I just had to stop and look at it, and I felt kind of like a fool, because I had to look at that. If I had maximized what I was doing in there, instead of reaching for something that I thought was more important, I would have been that valedictorian. Now, I know that might sound ridiculous right now in the vein that we're in, but I mean to carry you over into something more intense that our congregations need. We need doctors. We need lawyers of our own in there. And to be the best at what you are, to be, instead of spending that time looking for boys and trying to get, you know, find ways to make, to fit in and things like that. Sometimes that's where you're not maximizing the condition that you're in. When the Most High puts you in a place, you're in a place of learning, maximize that instead of reaching out, trying to find other things to make you happy. I kind of see that now, and it's terrible that it takes, you know, a lifetime to learn that. And so hopefully we can drop that in some spirits tonight, that if you could just say, okay, this is where I am, let me focus on this.
I just want to throw this in really, really quickly. In 2 Samuel 1:11-1, it says, it's referring to David and Bathsheba. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. David was not in his season. And this is the story of when David brought Bathsheba in, you know, he saw her up on that roof and brought her over there and, you know, committed adultery. He basically raped her. And I know people are probably cringing when you say that, but she couldn't refuse the king, even if she had wanted to. He said, bring her here. She had to come. She wasn't out there up on the roof. At least the scriptures don't say she was up there doing some dance for him, you know. But anyway, the only reason I'm bringing this up is it says that he was in the wrong place. It was a time, a season, that kings went to war, and he wasn't where he was supposed to be. So that's just to say that if he would have been maximizing his season, he wouldn't have fallen in with Bathsheba. And you can take it away, Jenny. I won't butt in anymore. For a while.
So I wanted to, you know, as I was reflecting on the different seasons of my life, I'm 27 now. And so I wanted to really just start off with, like, when I was younger, like the, you know, maybe teenage years. And so I found the scripture, Ecclesiastes 11 and 9. And it says, I actually want to start from 6. It says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. So even just in knowing that everything that we do, like if we have seed, it's from the Most High. If we have something good to plant, if we have money, whatever it may be that's good, we may need to make sure that, you know, when it's time and you are reaping the rewards of that and other people need it, to not withhold your hand. It says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And then it jumps down to, I'm going to jump down to verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So be happy, right? And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. So let yourself be happy knowing that you're young, and walk in the ways of thy heart, right? So the things that your heart is going to tell you to do when you're young, and in the sight of thine eyes. So the things you're looking at and saying, oh, I want to do that. This person is doing this. I want to do that. It says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And so, you know, when you're young, it's very easy to say, oh, I wonder what it's like to experience this or to experience that, or I see this person, right? It says, what's the verse? And in the sight of thine eyes. So the things you're seeing with your eyes, now you're kind of, it's easy for you to be curious about these things, but just know that God will bring these things into judgment. So just knowing, even if your mom doesn't know, your dad doesn't know, there's always going to be somebody there watching you, rooting for you to win, but hoping that you do the right thing. And then, you know, it kind of made me think, okay, well, if as a young person, you're not supposed to do all the crazy stuff that you want to do or that your heart is telling you to do, then what is the season of your life when you're young? And then I found another scripture, Ecclesiastes 12 and 12. It says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near. 9, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So in the days of your youth, and then I was thinking about the differences between like being 15 or 16 and being 26, where I am now. And I'm like, wow, when you're like 15, you have so much innocence in you. And the Most High, to an extent, really loves that pureness and that innocence that comes with being a child. Time of your life where you're really supposed to hold on to that innocence, to that pureness, to that love, to that kindness, and to be a light to other people, to other teenagers around you, and to really hold on to that pureness as long as you possibly can. Because there is a difference when you're 15 and you're, like, overly optimistic. Like, I'm still very optimistic, but, you know, when you're 14, 13, you know, there's not, like, that little thing in your head, like, no, this isn't possible, you know? So that even helps your faith, like, you know, feeling like anything is possible with the Most High and holding on to that faith, and showing the Most High how much you love him in your youth, that you could be doing whatever, but you're not going to do it, and you're going to show the Most High that even though you're young, you're willing to sacrifice your life for him, just like David was young, just like Joshua was young. You know, there's so many people that have sacrificed their life, even Christ. He started his ministry at 12 years old, and he didn't say, you know, I'm 12 years old, I want to go ride a scooter. You know, he really dedicated his life at such a young age, and he didn't say, you know, I'd rather be out bowling or at the movies. And even though these things are fun and it's not a sin to do these things, but knowing that life is short and we don't know our expiration date. It could be 12. It could be 18. It could be 35 or 45. But, yeah, when I think about the season of life that we're in, life itself is a season. And our life, even if you make it to 90 years, is like a drop of water in like an ocean of eternity. So every single day matters for you to store up riches. Just the same way you need to store up riches for your retirement, we need to store up riches for the kingdom so that we have multiple houses and multiple cars and multiple crowns and multiple gowns and lots of glory.
Amen. Amen.
It's very, very, very interesting, number one, that she would say an expiration date. You know,
uh-huh.
you have an expiration date stamped on you know, you go in the store and you look at everything, foods that don't even expire have expiration dates on them, like honey. Mm-hmm. Come on. And they have an expiration date on them. So if you have an expiration date on yourself, it's like, oh, my God, you know, I got like 5 more minutes to do this. How would we handle our life if we really felt like our expiration date was at 70? You know what I mean? If we mm-hmm. felt like that, how would we treat our fellow man? And how would we be, like you say, maximizing the season of our life? It's, yeah, it's important to do the things, like you said, Jenny, those things that are fun and enjoying life, but to building up that crown, like you said, getting those diadems, putting your crown so that when you get afterlife, that's what's so critical, that we mm-hmm. maximize the things of this world for tomorrow. So important. And most young people don't have that on their mind. Nor do some of the old.
Well, no. I wanted to comment on when she was reading the scripture that, and I should have been on that page, but I went and did something else that I was going to read a different scripture. But the one that says, go on, young man, while you're young, enjoy your life, you know, follow your heart. And then he goes right in to say, because God will judge those things. And when I think about that, I think of sowing and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
You sow a whole lot of things while you're young. Mm-hmm. You reap them in your older age. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a story of an old man wishes that he could have visited himself as a young man to let him know what he was doing to his body, to, you know, our body, and throwing away all his money, that when he became old, he had nothing and he was very sickly. So the scripture is telling us basically, yeah, you can do all of that while you're young, but you're going to pay for it. It's going to come a time for reaping that harvest that you're sowing. And we, as Jenny said and as you said, we need to make sure we're sowing for the kingdom and not for this world.
Very true. Yeah. Very true, because it's for nothing. The things that we do, they're vanity. All is vanity and vexation of soul and spirit. And somehow we've got to learn to enjoy the things that are for the world to come, the things that we do. And, you know, when you really get deep into it, and I hope I'm not going off track, Jen, that when you start doing things for the Most High, talking about the Lord and witnessing to people, I tell you, that is what a magnificent rush, you know, when you in your spirit, when that's your pastime, you know, it's so much more powerful than going into what was going on with the last basketball game. But it seems that when people are talking about the basketball games and things like that, they're having so much fun with it. But bringing a life to Christ, can you imagine that? You know, oh my goodness, what a powerful way to maximize the season of your life. And you will fall in love with that. I wish we could foster that more in all of us. And I just want to say lastly, Jen, before you move on to your next part of the topic, somebody brought it up that it is sowing and reaping. And that's been like heavy on my heart, because we sow a lot of stuff. Most of the time, we don't want to reap anything that's not good. But we're going to reap things that whatever we sow, we're going to reap it. And the Most High, sometimes when we get in trouble, because we've sowed these bad seeds, then we start asking God, look, God, making deals with him. I'll stop smoking. I'll stop doing any of this if you'll just take away the result of this reap, you know, don't make me reap this.
Huh?
Every now and then, there is a miracle where the Most High will allow for someone to not necessarily reap what they sowed.
Uh-huh.
It usually passes down to the children because somebody's going to reap it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, he will, like, freeze frame it sometimes when you don't get it. But there's no way to stop that sowing and reaping in this earth because, first of all, it would destroy the earth. You have to have sowing and reaping. Given, it shall be given. If the sowing and reaping stops, the world would end. It would absolutely have to end because this is, you put seed in the ground, vegetables and fruit grow. That's sowing and reaping. But the problem is that when you do things, there are absolute laws that come into effect that have to be followed. And sometimes that sowing and reaping, it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Because things are sowed into our yard that we didn't put there necessarily, but sometimes we do put them in there. And we have to be constantly pulling the weeds out of our life. But I digress. I'm going a whole nother place I find in my head, so I'm going to back up. Sister, continue.
I think it was the move to Anna or... can't remember the other young lady's name.
Zaire.
Mm-hmm. Zaire. Mm-hmm. I think they were going to comment now.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. This is Sister Anna on what Jenny and Sister Shirley were saying. Just a quick testimony. I was at a trampoline park with my husband and my two little children. And, you know,
are you broke?
Me and my, you know,
they're expensive.
And, you know, we were jumping and you know, but I'm 26 and my husband he's 33 and we're jumping and acting like kids, going crazy with the children. And I jumped up and I said to my husband, you know, I said, "Praise the Most High for youth." And you know, we both started smiling and you know, we were happy. And I say that to say that, you know, I was having a conversation with my husband before we left and, you know, my husband wants more children and I'm over here worried and scared about the world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, things are getting crazy. And I'm, you know, and my husband's like, you know, we have a purpose to fulfill, you know, we have to bring forth, you know, the promise seed, you know, and,
that's right.
And you know, me as a woman, you know, having that worrying, I know that that's what we should do, but I still, you know, with my worries and things of that nature. And, you know, when I was in that trampoline park, you know, I found joy and, you know, the spirit came on me and I'm like, no, this is the right thing to do. I have to maximize my season and understand that I'm in a place now where I have to, you know, bring forth fruit while I can. You know, there's
right.
people that
right.
can't even bear children, you
That's
know,
right.
and if my husband wants a son, I have to do that in gladness and in happiness, you know, and with this topic, I was sitting down thinking today, I'm like, I need to be more joyful about this. I have a daughter, I can show her, you know, what it is to be a young woman and to be able to change the way that this generation thinks. That they think, you know,
mm-hmm.
once they're 15, I can't wait to be 18 years old so I can get out my mama's house and I can do whatever I want. No, to learn how to be submissive and to be sober, you know, and to be subjected to your own husband, how to clean, how to cook, you know, I'm into herbs, you know, how to teach my daughter those things and to build, you know, a nation, the beauty of
mm-hmm.
it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
How old are you, sis?
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay.
And I just had one scripture, and it's Titus 2:3-4, and it says, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children." So
mm-hmm.
with that, I yield. I just wanted to, you know, bring forth that testimony that, you know, it could be hard, you know, being a young mom and things of that nature, but it's like you guys said earlier, to be content and to make it the best and be that better example for this generation coming forth and for your own children.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a fantastic scripture that you just read, and it speaks volumes. But sometimes in this world that we're living right now, some of the older women don't have husbands, or and their husbands have not expired or have passed away, and they are somewhat in the still in the same vein with the young women, trying to locate this man. So sometimes it's a little difficult for them to be teaching the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children, because they're so busy out there thinking about themselves. And I find that whenever you're thinking about yourself like that, opening a huge window for depression. You really have to get your mind off of you. Your mind has to always be on the betterment of the kingdom, what Most High would have you be doing, and everyone else's life. It always has to be on someone else's life who is being challenged by what I'm doing. How am I helping someone by what I'm saying? Because if you focus on you, you are headed for disappointment and depression. And that's just the truth of it. You really have to, young people, old people, we have to learn how to be here to help others. When I read the scriptures about even like money, scripture tells you that God giveth you wealth so that you can help others. It's not all about you. God gives you these talents and these tithes. I mean, talents and whatever. And when he gives it to you, it's to help other people. It's never for you. You have to multiply it by helping others. And I think it's very interesting how the Most High does it. When Christ came here, he came as a servant. The King came here as a servant to help others. And so if our life is anything but helping others, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And that's just, if God understood, we're setting ourselves up. And when I hear how young you guys are, like Carol said, you're not as young as you think you are. By the time I was 27 years old, I had 5 children, and I was married with 5 kids at 27, and I absolutely had no idea what I was doing. I just want you to know that. And so raising all those children at 27, can you imagine yourself right now married in a house with a bunch of kids? But it's where your mind has to be. Your mind has to be focused on others. And the one thing I can tell you is once you get married, it's over. It's over. It's no longer about you. It's, you know, I'm constantly thinking, well, I like those shoes, but how many diapers can I buy with that? Okay, I don't need those shoes. And things of that nature. But the bottom line is that if we can learn how to really, really, Christ, more of thee and less of me, you'll find that your life will be pointed towards the kingdom all the time. It's a wonderful thing. I just want to throw this out last, and my son called me one day, and he was trying to tell me about some artist that, a singer, and mommy, how do you not know that music? How do you not know that song? There was at least more than a decade of music that I missed out on because I did not play secular music in my house. I only played gospel music in my home. My radio station was a Christian radio station. So like right now you'd hear Elder Ricard, you'd hear, you know, Elder Lawyer, or you'd hear meditation music and things of that nature. And I did not miss the things of the world, but it really, really captured my soul. And I'm telling you, as a young person, the best thing you can do is dig your feet deep into the things of God, and you will fall in love with it. I yield.
I want to just comment a little bit on, I think it was Anna that said the scripture in Titus 2, and starting at the third verse, with teach the women or to teach the young women how to love their husbands and to love their children. And I want to say that, and I'm going to put a little peg in there. In our church, and I actually lead the group, it's called the Titus 2 Pearls, and we acknowledge the fact that many of us are not even prepared to be those Titus women. So we're in the process of developing those women, that we are available for the church to help to teach the younger women. Because the interesting thing is that that is a commandment. It's a
mitzvah.
The Most High said to the older women, you are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. That's our season. If you're not prepared, then as Woody said in the Toy Story, get it together. Our responsibility to become that person. And I challenge anyone to find a commandment that starts with I. There aren't any. It's always about doing for someone else. It's not about I. You know, and today we are an I people. We are all about, and that's why there's so many people running around. And I know one of the ministers had said it, that taking selfies, that it was actually a disease, like selfitis or something, running around. All it is about us, but the Most High is the opposite of this world. He teaches us to touch other people's lives with our lives and not live in the selfishness. So whatever season you're in, find the scriptures that prompt you to be the best. And Sister Anna, or I think it was said, it is her time to have children. That's right. That's the commandment. It's your season to have babies, have them. To be obedient to the Most High.
And the funny thing about it, when I was having children, I didn't know I was having a lot of children until the house got crowded. And I'm telling you the truth. It's like, I got three, another one, what's the big deal? Another child. But right now, it's like everybody's thinking, okay, finances, this, that, and the such. And I'm not telling anybody to have 15 kids because, first of all, I have five children. But the thing about it was that it didn't make it any easier or harder than it was, because it was just the place in life where I was. I had to cook breakfast, just throw my two more eggs in the pan, you know. So I think, and you can enjoy it, but I'm going to tell you that when you are raising those children, enjoy every moment of them.
Every minute.
When you say maximize, when they're young like that, like you guys said, it came to pass. It won't always be. You don't want to look back and think to yourself, I should have done this, and I, because you can always do that. But if you could go ahead, and I'm going to throw this out there and I'm going to move on. When I got married the second time, I read a journal, and the journal said to me that when you're planning for your wedding, you're going to plan this, you're going to plan that, you're going to plan the other. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of things that mess up along the way. You're not going to like what's happening. But purpose in your heart to enjoy your wedding. Enjoy it. Because it's the only thing that you won't be able to turn back, and it's all you'll have. And when they take pictures of you, if you're not enjoying your wedding, you know, that photographer's always around shooting pictures, you're going to look like an evil grimace. So, okay, when I got married, I heard wrong music playing when I'm walking in. My brother decided he wasn't coming. Different things just started happening. Everything just was going wrong. But I purposed in my heart that I was going to enjoy my wedding. And every picture that you saw, I was smiling and I had a good time. And so that's the way you've got to maximize where you are in life. Enjoy those little bad kids. When you wake, they're waking you up in the middle of the night, realize it's coming, it's going to come to pass. Enjoy that time that you have, because it's not going to always be. And you
That's
will,
right. And
you
it
will
goes
miss.
Bad.
It goes really so bad. But if you don't enjoy it, when you look back, it's like, well, what have I done? I ran my house like an army base, and I just was interested in getting the job done, and I missed out on the enjoyment. I missed out on enjoying what the little crazies that were going on around me. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Maximize all those things, sister. Maximize those stretch marks and you know, all of the things that you're going to get. They're coming. And so what are you going to do? Sit there and feel, look at yourself and go, oh, God, this has happened. I look terrible. Oh, my goodness. Enjoy where you are. But go ahead, sister. I yield.
Wow, that's such a good point, Sister Shirley. It reminds me of a book that I was reading recently called The Resolution for Women. I read the first chapter, and the author was going into that. She spent her entire life basically rushing from one point of her life to the next, and that when her children were young, she, like, rushed for them to be older so she could work, and then she rushed for them to be older than that so they could be independent. And then she realized, like, wow, I missed the best years of my children's lives.
Yeah.
And it really, and I felt that even though I don't have kids, because, like, I was a teenager. I was the one, like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to be 18 so I could, I don't know, party or do whatever I wanted to do. And then I went away to college, and I found the Most High, but then I couldn't wait to graduate. And then I was, like, just, like, dying to graduate, and then, you know, I finally got a job. And then, of course, when you got a job, you're dying to not have a job. But, you know, the 40-hour issue, really, really hard. But, you know, of course, I'm engaged, right? I've been with Brother Yashar almost 7 years, and we're not married. And everybody keeps asking me, like, when are we getting married? And I'm still not sure. But, of course, like, when you're waiting for the next stage of your life, you could get so caught up in the next stage that you don't care about this stage, right? Like, you know, I couldn't wait to get engaged, but if I just, like, rush engagement and can't get wait to get married, what's going to be next? Like, am I going to rush and say, well, I can't wait to have kids, and then I can't wait for them to be older so that I can sleep at night, right? Like, at what point am I just going to say, you know what, I am going to enjoy this part of my life with the pros and the cons? And so what I told myself, I'm like, I would love to be married and, you know, have my own place with Brother Yashar, of course, and start, you know, having a family. You know what? I started thinking, like, what? How can I maximize my time in this place? And so I started thinking, I'm like, wow, like, if I live with my parents now, which I do, this might be the last time I live with. And so my parents are not in the truth. This is possibly one of the best chances I ever have of life to really make a spiritual impact on my parents.
Yeah.
I have Bible for them. The frankincense all over the house and rebuke the demons. You know, this is my time to really, you know, talk to my family about the Most High before I leave and I'm not in this home every single day. And so,
that's a beautiful,
you know, I just
statement.
To share that. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, what the scripture says to do, what the scripture is really telling us is the same thing, to be content in whatever position you find yourself in, because it's the will of God concerning you. And so if you can be content in that position, right now you're not married, you're engaged, but guess what? Now, this may sound funny. When you get married, it's like a young woman came up to me recently that just got married, and she said, you know, when I was not married, I could go anywhere I wanted to go. I felt like getting up, going to IHOP, I get up, I go to IHOP. If I felt like going to the mall, I get up and I go to the mall. She says, now I'm married, I need a permission slip. She's like, I need to go and talk to my husband. Honey, I'm going to go. No. I think, you know, we don't need to do that. We do that tomorrow. You know, and it's like, so enjoy the place where you are. Because there is good and not so good in all the situations that you'll be in. There are going to be things you're going to enjoy and things you're not going to enjoy so much. So, yeah, being engaged and, you know, right now there's a little freedom in there and you can do that. But when you get married, life changes. And then when those babies start rolling in, it changes again. It's like a constant challenge to make you grow and stretch. And so master where you are. Master it. Master it so that, you know what, I love the place where I'm at. I'm going someplace else, but I love this right now. I tell you, that's maximizing the season of your life.
Now, yeah. I have a question. In reference to the way you feel about the season that you're in, does that also take into account looking forward to the next season?
In a positive or negative way, what do you mean?
Whichever way. You know, you're young. Are you at the same time, you're studying books on how to maximize this season. Is there material out there or thought of moving into the next season of your life that the transition is smooth? Or smoother.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I, you know, that's one of the things I've been working on too, is like realizing, well, this is the transitional period before I get married and I'm a wife. So I've been reading books on getting married. So, for example, I have a book called The 7 Principles of Making Marriage Work or something like that by something Gottman. And so, you know, I won't be long-winded with this, but this researcher, what he did is he put a bunch of couples in a hotel room and he studied them for 24 hours. And based on what he learned from those couples, he was able to realize key factors of why people divorce and why people stay together. To the point that he, with a couple of certain factors, he can say, well, if couples do this or don't do that, they're like 80 or 90% likely to support. And so, you know, one of the things that he said is that couples that are not successful, they give each other as much criticism as they do acknowledgement. Like, so for as much as they may tell their partner, I love you, I appreciate you throwing out the garbage, they tell them, you know, I hate when you throw your socks all over the place. And the couples that don't get divorced, they actually give their partner 5 times as much acknowledgement as they criticize. Another one is showing interest in what your partner likes. Those are some of the things that, you know, keep marriages together. Being able to take criticism. So, like, the two main ways that people don't take criticism correctly is, one, it's called the innocent victim. So let's say if my fiance tells me, Jenny, you're so messy, you always leave dishes in the sink overnight, and I'm like, but I washed the dishes last night and I sweep your room yesterday, I did all this other stuff. Or the other way is by by giving them criticism back. So if he tells me, oh, you didn't wash the dishes and I really hate it when you leave the dishes overnight, and I'm like, but you are really dirty too, and you leave a mess all over my car, and you do all this other stuff. Rather than just taking, you know, just acknowledging it, apologizing, and moving forward. And being able to give criticism correctly too. So one of the things I learned from the book is, well, from the research is, you know, if I want him to change their behavior, rather than saying, you know, what's wrong with you? You're so dirty and messy. you know, that's not going to make him want to be around me more. That's going to make him want to be around me less. So rather, I should probably say something like, this is the behavior that you do. This is how it makes me feel. And this is the action I want you to change.
You know, it's interesting when you get the experts that examined four or five couples for a couple of hours, and now they have the answers to how you can live and I'm going to tell you something. There is no textbook answer for how to work out a marriage. The best thing you can do is the common denominator to marriage is Christ. I'm telling you, that's it, because everything else is a fist fight. You get in there and you're dealing with these with people. If you don't know how to just walk in forgiveness and mercy and love and grace, you're not going to make it. And that's all it is to it. Nobody likes criticism of any kind. Trust me. Nobody wants to be told what they did was ugly or dirty or you're nasty, you're not a clean man, you need to wash your face. Nobody likes that, and no and most people don't need it because they already know they're dirty. They already know that. The best thing you can do is just learn how to love them. You know what I mean? Learn how to do what the Most High said do, and when you and respect. And respect these men because, oh my God, they hold respect so high, you know, and respect is such a broad brush. But the bottom line is keep that common denominator constant. Keep the word close to your heart and constantly examining you, not him. Whenever you start examining anybody else, you're not maximizing your life. You're trying to manipulate their life. You understand what I'm saying? Maximizing your life is checking out who you are and fixing you. All right, so he didn't like what I said because, all right, I got it. I don't need to say that anymore. And sometimes the scripture says, there's a scripture that says, study to be quiet. That's a big scripture for me. So the thing is that sometimes we need to do that. But maximizing the season of our life, most of everything is all about us communing with God and learning who we are and trying to figure out what the Most High would have us to do. Do we go left? Do we go right? Do we shut up? Do we speak? That communication with the Most High is what's critical to maximizing your life. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Yes, Sister Shirley.
I was going to add, I've been quiet this whole time because this is all very much so hitting me. I'm not sure who was speaking at the time, but a sister spoke and said that, I think it might have been Sister Shirley, said that in order for us to maximize the time that we're in, we need to stop thinking so much of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just so impactful to me and the stage of life that I'm in, because I do think it's so easy sometimes to get so caught up in what you want in the life you see for yourself, mm-hmm. and you're forgetting that all of this that we're doing is beyond us. We're not here just because I have this big goal that I need to achieve. No, I'm here to serve the Most High. So when you say, like, mm-hmm. being in constant communication with him, and I just feel like the spirit is moving right now, because this is something that I've, even on my been on, like, a journey to learn more about and to become better at, but praying. And I think that is so important, because what I'm hearing is humility, gratitude, love. These are all qualities that the Most High possesses, that the Holy Spirit possesses, that we have to learn how to possess. And the only way we're going to learn these things is if we're constantly in prayer and constantly doing that self-reflection and taking those beams out of our own eyes and correcting ourselves, not just so that we can be glorified, but so that the Most High is glorified, and that, you know, we're living in more, I feel like, unity and more peace in ourselves, but like you said, not for ourselves, but for those around us, and to glorify the Most High. So it's just, you know, praise the Most High for a lot of the points that are being brought out right now, because I'm just sitting listening quietly because I'm thinking about how this, literally how I need to apply this, because this is so important.
Amen.
Yeah, and I see that 100%. And when I say, you know, we definitely focus on ourselves, not to focus on ourselves, is that why don't I have something more? Why isn't somebody giving me? Why don't I have a boyfriend? Why don't I have a baby? Why don't I? I'm going to tell you, when you go into that, you're going into depression. You definitely, you gotta always leave that alone, because if we believe the word and if we believe the scriptures, Most High is in charge of our life, and he knows what we need even before we ask for it. And so if we don't have said boyfriend, it's because we can't handle him right now. We can't handle him. And I've learned that certainly in many relationships that I tried to push past God and found out that I didn't know what I was doing. I just didn't know. You know, you think you want something, and you get in that position, and you'll find out it was bigger than you are, you know. So whatever position you're in, just continue to walk in humility and in grace and loving the Most High and forgiving yourself when you fall. I think that that's so critical. Because sometimes we want to sit in squalor and feel like, you know, I messed up and I can't. No, get up. Gird up your loins, you know, and realize that the Most High has forgiven you. Now it's time for you to do something about it. All right, so you made this mistake. You went out and you got with this guy. You're pregnant now. You had the baby. All right, move on. You know, you just can't keep sitting in it and feeling like, you know, woe is me. Listen, move on and figure out how can I represent the Most High God now. I remember when I got married and I was living what I thought was my best life back then, and I just messed up everything. And when I came to myself and I saw the life that I was faced with, I had to say to the Most High, okay, this is what I have. I got to make the best of it. This is the cave I'm in. Let me hang these curtains. You know what I'm saying? You got to get it. You got to get to the point where wherever you are in life, you start saying, all right, this is where I am. What can I do with what I have? And that, I think, is where the scripture talks about the talents that the Most High gives us. When he gives us all these talents and these things that we can do, and we don't stop and try to figure out what I can do with what's in my hand, with what I have right here and right now, and I'm worried about, well, I need more. I need someone to give. No. What do you have right now that you can work with? Well, you know, I've got this dirty house. Clean it. You understand? And it's on that level. It's on that level that you can start to maximize your life by just looking at what's in your hands and working with it. And that's how I see it. How about you, Zaire?
Yeah, because I agree with everything that you just said. And that's kind of something that's been on my mind a lot lately. To be transparent, you know, I have a new job and, you know, it's very stressful. And I found myself every day, like, coming home and just upset and angry and like feeling like I'm getting disrespected by 12-year-olds every day, like being cursed out by little kids. Like, what is going on? You know, I'm very sad, and it was just bringing my spirit down a lot, and then changing my personality. Like, I'm just I'm upset, and maybe I'm snapping at, like, I may be snapping at somebody, or, you know. And what I realized is, okay, this kids are disrespectful. Kids are always, if they're not raised right, they're always going to be disrespectful. There's nothing I can do about that. But if I'm here and, you know, they notice little things about me, they notice, oh, Ms. Davis, you always have a skirt on, or you always have a dress, your head's always wrapped. You know, they say things like, oh, this class is like church. And those things in my mind started to make me think, okay, well, they're noticing little things. So maybe I'm here because I need to show them some characteristics, some traits. I need to show them, like, joy. I need to show them more positive things. So even though it is very draining, I can't do anything about necessarily, like, how a kid has been raised or, you know, the way they respect somebody immediately. But maybe I can show them those correct things and not allow my situation, me to, like, be so down, like, oh, woe is me in my situation, and figure out how I can glorify the Most High in this situation and, you know, bring joy to the classroom and show them some positive, characteristics and things of that nature. So I think that it is important that whatever situation that we are in, that we think about how to turn it around, because things are always going to be hard. That's what I'm realizing, especially it's like in the scripture, it talks about, like, I'm going to completely botch this, but I know, like, throughout lessons and things, we spoke about how, like, if you're in this walk and things are easy for you, what are you doing? Because if you're in this walk, things are not going to be easy. You know, you're always going through a trial and tribulation, whether it be something spiritual, whether it's, well, everything is spiritual, but whether it's, a little spiritual battle you're in, or maybe it's because, you know, family, and there's always something happening. So if there's always something happening, are you going to be able to be strong and bold and know that the victory is won in Christ and stand bold and confront it, or are you always going to be defeated and dilapidated and just frozen in whatever state you're in? So I completely agree with what you are saying, and that's kind of the approach that I'm trying to learn. You know, I'm 25 now, and I am now in a stage, I'm in a season of life where I am trying to learn how to not allow things to break me down, but instead go to the Most High when I'm feeling weak and get that strength. And that's where I am now. So I feel like I'm saying, yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
What do you guys say to people who are coming into the church? Because remember, we're all coming out of Babylon. Mm-hmm. And as we come in, we're coming in from different vantage points. So if we have some people who are listening that are new, what would you say to them as far as how to start recognizing that season, and where would they turn? What scriptures could they use to help them get started on the right path? Because we're all coming in with baggages of all types of things. Some of us are ex-druggies, whores. But it's the truth. Babylon taught us to be whores. You know, if you look at the pictures, everybody's sleeping with a guy. Someone's sleeping the first night, and it's like, and then you got drugs and homosexuality and all kinds of things that they're faced with. Knowing the season, how do we help them get on the right path and begin to walk this journey? Because I know that, you know, you had to eat an elephant one bite at a time, but how do they get started?
Yeah, this is a real hard question, and I certainly want to hear what the young people have to say, because our children and the young people are facing a much greater challenge than we had. You know, when we grew up, there wasn't, homosexuality wasn't even on the table, you know, as a problem.
People were not accepted. If you were a homosexual, I'm sorry for throwing this in there, but if you were a homosexual, that was hidden. You didn't just walk around the street sashaying up and down the block. Hey, because people didn't accept it.
As very young, I didn't know any at all. As we got older.
You didn't know any of them. You didn't know you.
No. When we got into church, which was amazing, that's when we met the homosexuals, which is amazing. But the thing about it was that when you're starting to talk about this with these new people that are coming in the church and teaching them to maximize their life, you say to a young woman comes in, she wants to get married. The first thing she's thinking about is, I sleep with this guy and give him a baby. He'll marry me, because that's the way of the world. That's what it seems like. It's okay. It's like, how do we even get started with these young people to tell them? I mean, how did that ride with you as a young person in college? And you, and all of you are, you've met someone and you're with that person. How does that happen? You know, you get into the church and then young people are coming in and they're saying to me, but I have a boyfriend out there and I'd like for him to come to church, but he doesn't want to come to church and I don't want to leave him. What do you do?
I have a scripture for that. I think I have three questions, but it's all in the same line. But I have two scriptures that really came to my mind.
The first
one is Revelation 10. It says, 10 and 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and he said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9, and it says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and that's the Bible, and ate it up. And it was as in my mouth, sweet as honey. So when you get this truth, it is so sweet. I am a princess of the Most High, and I'm technically rich, and God chose me, and Christ is black, and he was never white, and I knew God had a purpose for my life, and it's good. It's the Most High called me, and I understand. That means my eyes are open. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing that you could ever experience in your life. But it says, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And as soon as you eat it, people don't want to talk to you. Your friends want to ghost you. Your boyfriend wants to leave you. You start to lose your job. My GPA went from like a 3.7 to a 1.12. I almost got kicked out of school. You know, you're going to lose something. And so that precepts with the second and last scripture that I had. And I'll wrap it up. It says, what chapter? Matthew 16. It says chapter 24. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This walk is beautiful. It's going to save you from so many hardships. If you come into this and your mom and dad brought you into this and you don't have any children, technically you should never have to be a single mom. There's a slight possibility, but 99 times, if you know what I mean? Like, this should be the principle and guidance for you to start a family and for you to break those curses in your own family. And if, you know, even if you're in the situation and you're a single mother, now you know how to raise your children so that they can break those generational curses.
Amen.
And they can live. And, you know, no matter who you come across, it could be your family, somebody on the street, you have good news for them that God loves you, you are chosen, and the Most High wants you to fix up your life. But you have to take up your cross, and you are going to lose something, whether it's your relationship, your job, your house. Everybody has lost something coming into this. But once you overcome that and you stay faithful, the Most High will give it back to you again.
That's
and
right.
Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So if you're willing to give up anything for the Most High, I promise you he will give it right back. But if you want to hold on to certain things, you're going to have a difficult time holding on and then becoming a new person. You have to let it all go and see what remains, see what the Most High wants you to take into this next journey and continue that way. And then it says, for the Son of Man, no, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. If Christ cracked the sky right now, we wouldn't care about money. We wouldn't care about relationships. We wouldn't care about offenses.
That's true.
You would just want to please the Most High in that moment, and we just have to hold on to that thought.
Amen.
Very, very powerful what you just said, Jenny, and I love every moment of it because it's so very true. That denying yourself, and that's why you can't think about you.
Mm-hmm.
When you let go of you, you deny yourself daily and take up your and stop thinking about you. Let me see what I can do for somebody else. And I mentioned this before that I was taking care of my mom when she was dealing with dementia. And when I was in the room, she was in a panic and she was always scared and she was worried about somebody was trying to poison her and hurt her. And it was a horrible feeling. And one day I just sent the kids in there, here, go in there with grandma. And I told her, I said, Grandma, you got to watch the kids. All of a sudden she stopped thinking about herself and she had to stop focusing on those kids. And all of a sudden her mind was working, you know, because when you take your mind off of you, all of a sudden that's when the spirit can use you to utilize. And she was talking to the kids, and she seemed like she was clothed and in her right mind, and I really appreciated that. But I want to ask you this question. Jenny, Zaire, Anna, you're in the truth, and you're all very beautiful women. You're either engaged or married already, and you're very young. If you were not engaged and you didn't have a significant other or someone that's, you know, trying to court you, think you would have stayed in the church? And I'm asking that because so many of the young women feel like they're not whole until they have somebody by their side that they can say, yeah, that's mine. I'm marrying him. He's marrying me. And that's been, you know, what they want. And so I'm asking it to think about it for yourselves. If you did not have your would-be spouse or could-be or will-be, do you think you would have been able to hold it down like you're doing?
I'll answer this. I think yes. What I'm starting to learn now, and so I am courting somebody, but what I'm realizing more and more, even through the process of courting and those things, is that what's more important than the relationship that I have with the person that I'm courting is the relationship that I have with the Most High.
Amen.
And in order to court and to be with somebody, what I'm learning is I need to have a stronger relationship with the Most High, because that's going to be tried and that's going to get hard. And what am I going to do when situations happen within the courtship or within a relationship? You know,
yeah.
I'm going to have the Most High. That's the person who I have. And so what I think is so important is for sisters, especially young sisters, to first find a love in the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
To like learn a prayer, like to learn how to pray, to develop a prayer life. And that's
mm-hmm.
something now I'm discovering and I'm trying to learn more about, and that brings you so much strength, because sometimes you do feel lonely, but then in the scripture, it says, I am always with you. So like Christ, the Most High, Christ is always with us, so we're not alone. We may feel lonely at times, and that,
mm-hmm.
and then we may have spiritual battles with that, but we are never alone. And I think it's important to first discover those things and to learn how to love the Most High and to find a first love in the Most High. So because
mm-hmm.
that keeps me grounded. I know, like something when I first came in the church, before I came in the truth, I was on a journey to find out what it was to be a woman. My first lesson I I watched live was to be a man and a woman of the Most High. And mm-hmm. when I came into the church, that was something that my mind was always fascinated on. What was it? What is it to be a woman of the Most High? And to this day, what keeps me grounded is that I'm always learning and growing more and trying to communicate with the Most High and grow in what does it truly mean to be a woman of the Most High. And that brings mm-hmm. me so much comfort. So I think that though it is, you know, most women desire to have a spouse, what is more important is to develop a strong relationship with the Most High, to find mm-hmm. your first love in this truth and to never let it go, and to really dive into prayer and learning how to communicate with the Most High to help you through those tough moments when you, because sometimes you may feel like giving up. There's moments where, if I'm honest, I felt like maybe this is too much or maybe I'm not worthy, but it's praying and fasting and getting into the word that helped me overcome those moments.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Good stuff.
Jenny, what do you have to say about that?
So, before I was with Yashar, of course, I was single in the truth for a period of time. We knew each other like a year and a half or something like that before we started, courting. But, I was patient, but I definitely was praying for a husband 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. what I would say is that, just like anything else, John 14:13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father mm-hmm. may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And so I don't think it's a sin to want a husband. It's normal and natural. You want to pick the right person, and so you want to make sure that that's the person the Most High wants you to be with. And so, I would say for somebody that's out there and is single and just confused, I would say when you pray, don't doubt. And if you don't doubt, then you shouldn't be worrying, because then the Most High is going to answer your prayer. So you should be happy that the Most High is working on it.
Well, the reason that I asked that question is because mm-hmm. most of the sins that the young people fall into is fornication.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I would say from my experiences and what I know and the people that I know, I don't think people go into it and say, hey, I definitely want to fornicate. Because if you're coming to church every Sabbath, you got baptized, you love the Most High, you don't want to fornicate. But, of course, the idea first comes into your brain. What if I fornicated with – what if I did this with this person? Or what would happen? And when you continue to entertain that thought rather than rebuking it, it first mm-hmm. is a thought, and now you didn't rebuke it. Now the thought is yours because now you want to do it. And mm-hmm. now you're entertaining that thought more and more. So when you're weak and then you find yourself in a predicament, then that's when it's gone. So I would say first, watch your eyes, watch what you're looking at, who you're looking at, watch what you're thinking about, and rebuke thoughts that you shouldn't be having. I'm engaged and I'll be getting married in a couple of months, God willing, and I don't even try to let my mind go there. And I rebuke those thoughts still. And, a thought is just a thought, and we are getting married, but I rebuke it anyways because I don't want to be caught up in a situation where we're hanging out and because I've been entertaining a thought for too long, now something could happen. So watch your mind, watch your thoughts, and don't put yourself in predicaments that are unnecessary all for, like both of you guys being alone by yourselves. If you're courting, because every congregation has different rules. I would say, if you're allowed to go to that person's house, make sure that there's, other people. Hang out in the living room with their parents. If there's nobody home, don't go there. Go to the park. There's other places. Go to the ice cream place, Invite other people. Don't place yourself in predicaments where you're both alone, because that's
mm-hmm.
unnecessary. Don't think it will never be you, because Satan is always there. So you have to always think, if I was Satan, how would I bring myself down? And a lot of the time it's fornication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but I would say, don't always think that you're in a war with the adversary. And And you have to think, if I was Satan and I was trying to get me out of the truth, how would I do that to myself? And then you have to know how the adversary is going to try to attack you. And you need to be two steps ahead of him.
Amen. Amen. You know, that was, okay, was that Jenny? Or, you know, you guys sound alike. Okay, Jenny.
You guys sound alike.
I have a good scripture for you. What were you going to say? That we sound alike too?
Yes. I can almost not tell.
Okay, so 2 Corinthians 10, and you guys might have been planning on reading that, but, and I'll start with, one, and I'm going to go to maybe 7. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness of gentleness of Christ, who in present am based among you, but being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and I got that because of what you were saying, when your thoughts are running, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is in Christ, let him of himself think thus again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us, for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. But the main reason that I was reading that was the casting down imaginations.
Yes.
You said it. Most important for the young people who are coming into this walk, this is something that they really, really, I love the scripture in Revelations about eating the Bible and it becoming bitter in your stomach, because this is not a walk for the faint of heart. It is not. Because you're going to get discouraged. And I always say, that if you're walking, and someone else had kind of mentioned it, when you're walking along, if you're not running into trouble, you must be walking with the devil. Because if you're in your walk with the Lord, you're going to run face to face with that devil. But if he's walking with you and you're agreeing with him, you better check your behavior. Hey, what's going on? I don't have any challenges. Yeah, maybe because you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do.
I agree. And I want to say, if anybody's out there that wants to make a comment or ask a question, press 1, get into the host queue. We don't have a lot of people in the queue tonight, and hopefully the young people will go to the broadcast and look at it. But nonetheless, if anybody's out there that wants to add to the conversation, that wants to make a comment, ask a question, just press 1. Get into the host queue, because we're wide open tonight. Okay? And I just want to say thank you to the young people for coming on here and saying the things that they're saying. Because, like I said, this is definitely a different world than we're in.
It is definitely.
It's almost like I told all my children, I don't want to watch any kids. I don't want to watch your kids. Keep your kids at your house, because I don't want to be the evil grandmother. Because these kids nowadays, in order to teach them and tell them something, it's like they don't speak the same language that we do. So that's why it's like really good that you guys are getting on here and letting us know these things, because, you know, me, I was like, look, get the belt, you know, that works, you know, and it doesn't really. So I really appreciate, you know, all the things that you guys are saying, because we went through a lot as children and as young people, and the young people that are in the church, I do understand. When I walked away from the womb, I was looking for a husband. you know, and I really wanted to be married as a young, a very young girl. I wanted to be married. I wanted to have children. I wanted to raise a family. Little did I know about any of that. Even though I lived in a house with my mother and my father, I had no idea what that really entailed, you know, and that's usually what is happening. So here we go again. If we can teach the young people to enjoy the place of life that they're in right now, where they can learn how to be children. Oh my God, it's a hard place. We've got a caller, so I'm going to shut my mouth and bring in a caller. Area code 989. You're on the air with the daughters and the young people of Zion.
Their daughters.
Well, I don't think
I'm
that
only playing, girl.
Area code 980. 989. Someone do something with my sister Carol before I do.
Hi, Shalawam.
Shalawam.
Hi, this is Sister Panina from Texas. I just wanted to come on and make a comment. I'm typically never able to listen to the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And tonight, one of the sisters from our church sent the broadcast, and it has really blessed my soul. I am 30 years old, and I have a 15-month-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in the truth now for 6 years, and I think that I wasn't ready for the current season that I'm in now with what the enemy was trying to do after me having a child. I had went through a series of different things with my health, and I think that what it did was it created some fear in me to have more children. I was starting to become content with just having one child and saying, hey, you know what, that'll just have to be enough. But one of the sisters had said something tonight, and she was talking about bearing children while you can, and she was saying that would be maximizing this current season, you know, as a wife and as a mother, while you're able to childbear, to go ahead and to bring forth that call, you know, to bring forth the promised seed. And so that really ministered to me, and it even took away the fear that any fear that I had, because as you said earlier on the call, you know, if the Most High has called you to do this thing, then he's going to enable you to be able to do it. So I really, really just wanted to say that was such a wonderful conversation, and I'm so glad the Most High put it on her heart to speak to the women in this season who are bearing children.
Wonderful.
Oh, wow. I really am impressed that the Most High did all of that tonight. That is wonderful, because you could have missed your season, right? If you would have just stayed in, you know, fear is a torment.
Oh, praise. Thank you so much for that testimony, sis. And I'm going to put you back in the queue unless you have something else you need to say.
No, that was it. Shalom.
All praise. Shalom. Wonderful. And I'm going to bring in another call. Area code 330. You're on the air with the daughters and the young giants on the phone tonight.
Shalom, sisters. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're good. How about you?
Wonderful.
This is Sister Gianna. I'm from Cleveland. Jenny actually sent me the stream tonight, so hi, Jenny. I had just wanted to come in because y'all had been talking about like enjoying like the like savoring the season of your life that you're in, and before things start to change. And I'm 20 years old, and I've been thinking a lot about like a lot of like there was like a lot of like huge like wave of marriage that hit the Cleveland body over the last 6 months, and I was kind of looking like, well, dang, why can't this be for me? And then now that I've taken this time to like really think about it, like, I'm 20 years old. I feel like I still have more stuff that I need to do for myself. So, and now just hearing this broadcast tonight and thinking about how I need to like step back and really like look at this place where I'm at and enjoy it while I still can, because the things that I want in the future, that's a whole different ball game. But I'm glad to have things now that I can do that, so I can still that will still help me to embrace my singleness for a little bit longer. That's all.
Enjoy it.
It's a wonderful thing.
Good, Gianna.
All praises.
Hi.
Okay, sis, I'm going to put you back in the queue. And that was a wonderful testimony. To enjoy where you are in life. Can you imagine that? you know, wherever you are, to just start being grateful. That's really what enjoying means, to be grateful for the hand that the Most High has given you. Being grateful, because usually when we're not enjoying where we're at, we're usually ungrateful.
Yeah.
Why did God give this to me? You know, why can't I have a husband?
Let me explain. That's right. That's right.
Let me explain something to you about a husband. I was saved by the bell. Another caller is calling in. Let's bring him in. Area code 347. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 347.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hi, this is Sister Carrie from New York City. I'm the I'm new. I just attended my second service yesterday. Hi, Sister Shirley. Hi, Sister Jenny.
Hi.
I didn't expect to get cued in so fast. So, Sister Jenny sent me the link about maybe 30 minutes ago. I have the two boys. You know, I have a six-month-old and a three-year-old.
I love who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to cry, like, the moment I got on, you guys were talking about maximizing the, you know, where we are now and really enjoying the experience. And I also can relate to that, like, rushing around, trying to get everything done. You know, I am a single mom, and it's really just us, you know, here every day, and I have to do all the things, you know. So I catch myself, you know, like, a lot of times just, like, checking my checklist in my head while my baby's like, mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, I'm going to change my name. Stop calling me mommy. You know? And it's so, it's wrong. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to change that title.
I used to say that all the time to my children. I'm not mommy anymore. I'm taking a new name.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Okay, I feel so bad sometimes, you know? Look, there he goes. I am happy. I'm not sad, no. He comes and he's wearing his little work goggles and he's wearing his shoes with no pants running around. And I'm constantly, like, catch myself, like, stop it. Take that off. Don't do that. Da-da-da. But then, like, I have moments where I do slow down and I just laugh and, like, I can enjoy it. And, you know, it's really important. Like you said, it goes by really fast. Like, he was a baby 2 seconds ago, and now he's three. You know, I have the little one, and it does feel like a lot. And I guess I wonder, I wanted to ask, like, with everything going on right now, you know, I've been searching for the truth for some time. That is yours. I've been, yes. I set him up with some milk in his cup because I knew he was going to come over here. you know, okay, with everything going on, I've been searching for the truth since 2018. Like, I had, like, a big awakening. It was kind of a little crazy. And then, you know, I had my son, I think, a year and a half, 2 years later. Now I have a new, you know, newborn six-month-old, and I start to feel like I'm behind. Like, you know, I just came into the true truth. I knew God was real, but I just came into this truth, like, and really have, you know, really feel solid in it. You know, like, I've seen evidence, like, okay, like, I really feel like this, I'm finally arrived at the truth. And so I catch myself feeling like I'm behind and I need to do all this reading and I need to do all this studying, that it kind of, I almost feel like I'm struggling between being a mom and learning more about the Most High, or, you know, figuring out my purpose. And I think, yeah, like, I don't know, maybe I'm having a hard time accepting my season. I don't know. I was trying to ask a question there, but I feel like I lost it.
I think I hear what you're saying. Go ahead, Carol. I'll back up.
I just wanted to go to Ecclesiastes, what is it, 12, when she said that she feels like she has so much to learn and what have you. You know what I'm talking about? Ecclesiastes 12.
and I think it's 12. It says, and further, by these my son be admonished of making many books, for there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I'm saying that to encourage you, don't worry about how much you have to learn. Like, there's so much we're learning constantly, the Hebrew Bible Academy. Yes, it's good for you to get in there, but to fear the Most High and keep the commandments that are for you is the most important thing. And that's all you can do right now. And one of the commandments is to love them babies. And
right.
To love them is to enjoy them where they are. I had a friend in the first day church, and every time I would see her, I would always say, oh, babies, they're so beautiful. She'd always say to me, they're a blessing. And I would really challenge myself with, if someone said that to me, would I dare turn around and go, they're a blessing? I'm just, they're bad. That's all I used to say. Oh, my little man, he's bad. I didn't know how to enjoy it because they're just trying to figure out the world. They're in their season, and they're trying their best to just manage with the little knowledge that they have of the world. Yeah, they're going to touch things that are wrong and do things that are wrong. And it's our job as parents to point them in the right direction. So you're not crazy, sister. It's just this world has put a lot of demands upon us. And it's hard being a single parent, but you are where the Most High wants you.
And as you're walking along, when you're taking care of those babies, they're just demanding your time. And you feel like, oh, my God. It's like we feel like I don't have any time for me, but there will be time for you. This too will pass. Those babies will grow up, and you'll be in the house acting like, well, what's there to do? I need something. But, because the thing is that wherever you are in life, and I'm so glad the sisters brought that on about maximizing the season of your life, is that when you can just start looking at the benefits of whatever is going on in your life, the benefits, what's good about those babies, what's good about what they're doing, what's good about what they're seeing, sit down on the floor with them and play with them. You know what I'm saying? Take that time. They can have cereal for dinner that night. Sometimes you just got to back up and try to enjoy the moments that you're in, because that's all you got.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, and it'll be a blessing for you, sis. It will.
I really appreciate that, because, I struggle, like, oh, I didn't, I'm not making dinner properly, or he hasn't eaten breakfast, or, we're struggling with all the little details, and we're losing sight of the big picture, we're losing sight of what really matters. Of course, they need to be nourished, but that, like, it's okay for one day, not to have that, three-course meal or whatever, but actually enjoy some time together. Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are at 9 o'clock, and some people are literally getting cut off because that's all the time that it gives us. So I'm gonna ask you to call in again next Monday, and I'm going to put you back in the queue. Sister Jenny, you guys want to tie it up like really quickly, because I think we're all getting ready to get thrown out. I'm getting messages that we've been cut off. We might, Sister Jenny. Go ahead.
Just to wrap it up, maximizing the season of life that we're in, I would say, knowing that the Most High has a purpose for you in whatever season, and asking the Most High to show you that, and, whatever responsibilities you may have, just enjoying them, whether it's children, whether it's a ministry, a husband, your parents that you take care of, even an annoying pet, which I just got rid of mine. But I would just say, you know, like in my job, I do therapy. Some know, some don't. But a lot of times people will just be like, I just want to be happy. And it's like, for me, I feel like happiness is something that is a choice. Even in the midst of, you know, I've gone through people that I loved and cared for passing away, and I still had to choose to be happy and choose to not stay in a depressed state. You know, it's just as simple as, you know, I'm walking down the street and I'm hearing the birds chirping. I'm seeing the cars pass by. I'm in the moment. I'm not like 10 years from now. I'm not 5 years ago. I'm in today, in this moment, thanking the Most High that I'm still alive, that I could feel how cold it is, and that I could hear the birds singing praises to the Most High. So I praise the Most High in everything, and I'm grateful for this season that I'm in.
Amen.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's wonderful. And sister, I just wanted to say that I think it's going to be very interesting, and I want to be around to hear the memoirs of you when you get married to your chakras. You're both in this therapy thing, and you're going to be psychoanalyzing each other, and I can't wait.
Does this Sanana have anything to say?
This is Zaire. Some people literally
have to say. I just wanted to say to all of the younger sisters and even the younger ox, really quickly, just, you know, understand that, you know, that the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh.
Yes.
And, you know, the lust of the flesh is never satisfied, you know.
Never.
But the spirit is everlasting. So the kingdom is what we should be seeking, you know. I came into this truth, you know, single, and you know, I have my husband now, and I understand it's different because you guys are coming into it and your parents were into it, and it's like you want to fulfill that itch, but it's not worth it, guys. It's not because it's like I said, you know, that it doesn't – that flesh is never satisfied. And I just wanted to – end with this, and this is Ecclesiastes 2. It says, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
Amen.
Right, constantly endure, and make not haste in the time of trouble. Cleave unto him, and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take fearfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. For gold is tried in the fire, and the acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. And verse 6 and last, believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. So to all you young, you know, you young kids in this truth, understand that Christ chose you. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but understand that gold is tried, and to be refined, you have to go through it, but you have to endure, and seek the kingdom, seek the spirit. Praise the Most High.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I love Ecclesiasticus. I love that Sirach.
I do too, but it hits home, honey.
So that was Zaire. Do we want to hear from Anna?
No, that was Anna.
That was Zaire.
That kicked out. I saw her number drop. And some of the other people just literally dropped. If Zaire is still in, press one, get in the host queue. We'll bring you in for some last comments. I don't think anybody could get back in because it shut us down.
Yeah. So you want to pray out?
All right, you
want to
pray us out?
Who, me?
That is hilarious.
I don't mind. I'll do it.
Go right ahead.
One second. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Ahayah, Shirahayah, Bahashem, Yeshaya, Warawakwadash. We pray with full faith and full confidence, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us your holy name, Ahaya, Usher, Ahaya. We know that anything that we ask in your name and in your son's name, Yeshaya, through the Holy Spirit of Awakwadash, we can and we will receive. We thank you for calling us into this truth, and we pray that we can endure until the end, O Heavenly Father. We pray that we can make it into the kingdom. We pray that we can endure, that we can inherit those riches, and that we can make you proud, O Heavenly Father. We pray for sisterhood, O Heavenly Father. We pray for an abundance of the spirit of love, that we may be filled so much with love that we can pour that out to everyone around us, O Heavenly Father. We pray that we can maximize the season of life that you have us in, oh Heavenly Father, and that we can show gratitude and appreciation for everything that you do for us, oh Heavenly Father, from the smaller things to the bigger things, oh Heavenly Father. We pray for the children in this church, oh Heavenly Father, that you can instruct them and be a father onto them, that you can correct them and chastise them and show them love and show them their purpose and show them that they're important in this body and that you love them and that you want them to follow you, oh Heavenly Father. We pray for the families. We pray for the women and the men and the leadership of this church, oh Heavenly Father. We pray that you strengthen us as a nation. We thank you for all that you do, and we pray in this manner. Our Father.
Our Father.
Which art in heaven.
Which art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed
thy
be
kingdom,
thy kingdom.
Thy will be done on
thy
earth.
Will be done on earth.
Give us this day.
Give us this day.
Our daily bread.
Daily
and forgive
bread.
Us our debts. Our
debtors.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Come on.
Come on. Thank you.
All right. Be blessed. And everyone remember that we're trying to let the first Monday in the month be for the young people. So I know we have gotten cut off, but at any rate, for those that are there, and try not to wait for my notice to come in. Just look for us at 7 o'clock on Mondays. We should be there. All right. Everybody be blessed now.
Thank you.
Have a blessed night.
Everybody have a wonderful
night.